Hello and welcome to Pardes from Jerusalem, the podcast series from the Pardes Institute of Jewish Studies in Jerusalem. I'm Larry Kluger, a Pardes alum. In this podcast, Rabbi Schweiger discusses Parshat Vayera. Rabbi Schweiger recorded this podcast earlier today after arising from sitting shiva for his mother, Esther Bottmeier. This is the second podcast for Vayera this week. Rabbi Daniel Landes recorded the previous podcast. You may wish to check it out if you haven't heard it yet. Rabbi Meir Schweiger is a senior faculty member of Pardes and serves as a Mashkiach Ruchani, the spiritual guide for Pardes. And now, Rabbi Schweiger.
I apologize for the delay in this week's podcast. Unfortunately, my mother passed away last week, succumbing to pneumonia at the age of 94. I just finished sitting Shiva yesterday and have tried to bring you this podcast as soon as possible. So I would like to dedicate this session to the memory of my mother, Esther Bottmeier. The central theme in this week's parsha are the plagues. 7 of the 10 plagues appear in this week's parsha. And somehow the story of the plagues revolve around the condition of Pharaoh's heart. And we're already told, before the plagues begin, in chapter 7, verse 3, Va'ani akshe et lev paro, and I will harden Pharaoh's heart, v'herbeiti et ototai v'et moftai be'eretz Mitzrayim, and I will increase the signs and the wonders in the land of Egypt. I would just like to digress for one moment and say that the 10 plagues are referred to both as signs and wonders. What's the difference between a sign and a wonder? A wonder is something which blows me away, astonishes me. Something which I can't describe, I can't explain. It's baffling. But because it is so amazing, there's a distance between me and the wonder. It's something which baffles me and which I am disconnected from. A sign is something which directs me, which shows me the way. And this becomes a central issue in the plagues. Are the plagues signs or wonders? In the end, are the people who witness them amazed but ignore them? Or are they impressed with what happens and are directed by them, learn from them? And it's clear that throughout this week's parsha and next week's parsha, for Pharaoh and the Egyptian people, these are wonders. God hopes that for the Jewish people, there will be signs. And in fact, in next week's parsha, we see that the Jewish people did learn from what happened and actually bring about their redemption when they do the first Seder in chapter 12. I said that Pharaoh and the Egyptians ignore these signs, and they remain in the realm of wonder. And this dismissal is brought about by the condition of Pharaoh's heart. There are 3 words that are used to describe Pharaoh's heart. At the very outset of the parsha, God says, I will harden his heart, akshe, from the word kashe. In fact, throughout the signs, it never says that Pharaoh hardened his heart. There are 2 other words which come up repeatedly. The first word, appears in chapter 7, verse 13, where it says, Vayechezak lev paro, and Pharaoh's heart was strengthened. This is in response to the sign which Moshe is giving him, which in fact, if you look at verse 9, God says, when Pharaoh will say to you, give me a wonder, it is clear that Pharaoh is not interested in a sign. He's interested in being entertained. At which point Moshe throws down his stick and it becomes a snake and eventually turns back to a stick, swallowing up the staffs of all of his magicians. And it says, and Pharaoh strengthened his heart and did not listen to them. The word strengthen, vayechazak, or vayechazek, where it speaks about God strengthening his heart after the sixth plague, is perhaps the most repeated expression of Pharaoh's heart. But there's another expression which appears after the second plague, and after subsequent plagues as well. After the second plague, it says, in chapter 8, verse 11, Vayar Paro, when Paro saw ki haita harvacha, that there was a certain breathing space, v'hachbedet libo, he made his heart heavy. What I would like to discuss are these three heart conditions: a strong heart, a heavy heart, and a hard heart. Let us begin with a strong heart. In chapter 7, verse 3, when God says, I will actually harden his heart, Akshah, the Sforno, a medieval commentary living in Italy in the 1500s, deals with the whole question of free will and determinism and raises the issue of how Pharaoh can be held accountable, how can he be punished, if God in fact is making his heart hard. He has no free will, so how can he be accountable? And the answer which the Sforno gives is that God actually is not taking away his free will. When God is hardening his heart, he is giving him the ability to resist the plagues so that he will not buckle in under the pressure, so that he will not capitulate. By hardening his heart, God is neutralizing the effect of the plague and ultimately giving him free will, so that if Pharaoh will make the decision to send the Jews out, it will not be because of pressure. It will be because he has come to realize who God is. He has come to realize what he has done to the Jewish people, and how he needs to somehow make amends. I'm not interested now in going into the whole question of free will and determinism. We can do that in another podcast. But I am interested in the understanding the Sforno has of Pharaoh's hard heart. But I would like to take his explanation and transplant it. Disagree with the Sforno and say that, in fact, I would not give his explanation on the word kashe. I would use it with the word chazak. A strong heart, a lev chazak, is a heart which is able to withstand pressure, is a heart which is determined, which continues to function against all odds. And this is the expression which comes up again and again with respect to Pharaoh. The plagues are overwhelming. They're overwhelming both in terms of their magnitude, of their wonder. They're overwhelming also in terms of their results, which gradually become more and more destructive. And yet at each stage, Pharaoh somehow resists the pressure of buckling in. He is determined to hold the fort, to hold the line, to not capitulate to God. And his determination is so complete that he will continue even if it leads to his own self-destruction. The second word, kaved lev paro, vayachbed libo, vayichbad libo. Kaved is related to the word kavod, honor. Whenever it says Pharaoh's heart is kaved, it is heavy, but it is heavy with honor. But I would like to suggest, not with honor, but with hubris. And as we read the unfolding of the plagues in this week's parsha, it is clear that there is a power struggle between Pharaoh and God. Already in the very beginning, when God brings the first plague, this is in chapter 7. Chapter 7, verse 15. God says to Moshe, "Go to Pharaoh in the morning. Behold, he's going out to the water." And the Midrash comments, why is Moshe meeting Pharaoh at the water? And Rashi quotes the Midrash, which says, Pharaoh would go early in the morning to the Nile to relieve himself, because Pharaoh wanted to project the image that he is a god, and as a god, he does not need to go to the bathroom. In fact, perhaps Pharaoh was so caught up with his being a god that he relieves himself, dirties, pollutes the other god in Egypt, the Nile. And when Moses goes to see Pharaoh early in the morning, according to this Midrash, you'll excuse the expression, he catches Pharaoh with his pants down. He debunks him. He shows him that he may try to fool everybody, but ultimately, Moshe knows the truth. He is a human being like everyone else. And this theme becomes central throughout the plagues, this power struggle. Who is really God? Who is really in control? And when it seems that Pharaoh is about to submit, to acknowledge that ultimately God is in control, when Pharaoh perhaps pleads with God, and a number of times this happens, he pleads with Moshe to take away the plagues. As soon as Moshe does that, Pharaoh returns to his position, his commanding position. He is no longer the one who is pleading and begging, who's subservient. He is the one who gives the orders. And that is the meaning of having a heavy heart. And it would seem to be that the two really go together. That Pharaoh's determination, his lev chazak, ultimately is a function of his lev kaved, of his heavy heart. His heart that is so filled with himself that he has no room for anyone and anything else around him. But I want to deal also with the question of a lev kashe, a hard heart. When we speak of something which is hard, we always have the image of a stone, something which is impenetrable. When we come to the end of the parsha, in the seventh plague, the plague of hail, God says to Moshe, I am now about to bring a plague. This is chapter 9, verse 14. He says, you should say to Pharaoh, in verse 14, this time, I am sending all of my plagues to your heart. And the way which I understand it is, this time my plague should penetrate your heart, your stone-like heart. What makes the seventh plague different from all of the other plagues? In every plague, when God warns Pharaoh, Pharaoh has two options. He can let the Jews go and not suffer the plague, or he can hold on to them and then bear the consequences. In the seventh plague, he has a third option. As we would say, to have his cake and eat it too. He does not have to let the Jews go out. He can hold on to them. But he can also not suffer the plague. In the seventh plague of the hail, God brings the hail. Whoever is out in the field, whether it be animals, people, will be killed. And this is the first time that we have a sense of people being killed in the plagues. All that Pharaoh has to do is tell his people, stay inside. And if he does that, he will not suffer the plague. What is God asking of Pharaoh? Show me that you have a heart. Show me that you care about your own people. Not my people, your people. Show me that you are willing to now listen to me in order to save your people. And when we look at what happened in the seventh plague, there are people who were saved. But the people who were saved are saved because, as it says in the verse, in verse 20, the ones who fear the word of God from Pharaoh's servants made sure to hurry their servants and cattle into the houses. They're saved because they took the initiative. They're saved because they fear the word of God. They're not saved because Pharaoh gave a directive. And what seems to be clear from the psukim is that Pharaoh is willing to let his people die just to make a point. I will not capitulate. I am in control. Which means the strong heart, the heavy heart, ultimately become a hard heart. A heart which is impervious, which is insensitive, which has no compassion, no feeling to anyone, perhaps not even to Pharaoh himself. Rav Kook once coined the pithy phrase in describing the difference between the British High Commissioner at the time and the Western Wall. He said that there are some people who have hearts as stone, and there are stones with human hearts. Pharaoh is a person with a heart of stone. And ultimately, Pharaoh and his stone heart eventually sink in the Red Sea. I felt compelled to speak about this topic because my mother was a woman who in the end had a weak heart, but a weak heart which was very, very strong, chazak. In the last year of her life, she was diagnosed as having congestive heart failure. Her heart was beginning to fall apart. And yet anyone who knew my mother was overwhelmed by her determination, by her will to continue living and functioning normally. At the age of 90 years old, my mother would go to shul on Shabbat with a walker. What would take me 5 minutes took her a half an hour. But it was important to her to be able to walk to shul. She had a lev kaved, a heavy heart. But it was not a heart of hubris. It was a heart of dignity. Her human dignity was reflected in her ability to be independent, to be self-sufficient. A phrase which my mother would say again and again is that I don't want to be a burden on other people. Whatever she could do herself, she would never delegate to someone else. This was her dignity. This was her pride. Her ability to do things herself. But now I want to come to the last thing. And this is perhaps the major thing which separated my mother from Pharaoh. My mother had a very soft heart, a very gentle heart. Rather than being impervious to the people around her, she loved and gave to all those around her. In fact, her determined heart, her heavy heart, was used in the service of her soft heart. All of her determination, all of her independence, was for the sole purpose that she should be someone who gave to others rather than to take. She wanted so badly to be able to do things herself, because she did not want to impose on other people. How many times would I argue with my mother, "Let me take you in a wheelchair," and we would have races. I would take an empty wheelchair and she would go with a walker, because she didn't want to burden me. In the last months of her life, when she was no longer able to really do things for herself because she had broken her arm, when she very much was dependent on all those around her, she still fought to be able to walk, hold on to a walker with a broken arm. She pushed herself to do physical therapy, but it was still difficult for her to be able to eat by herself, to clothe herself. And every single time that someone helped her, she would say, "Thank you very much for all that you've done for me." The lesson that I would like to bring is that the issue of our parsha reduces to the most basic level of humanity. Pharaoh, who is so caught up with himself, who wants to be a god, has completely eliminated his divine image, his godliness, his human dignity. And step after step, he pushes himself into a corner, which ultimately leads to his destruction and demise. My mother was a woman who never sought honor, but she had dignity. She had dignity that was reflected in her ability to give, to care. Rather than eliminating the divine image in her, she maximized it. All who saw her came away being inspired. Inspired by the soft heart that was very strong. May her memory be a blessing to us all. And may we look at her life. May her life be a sign rather than a wonder. Shabbat shalom.
Thank you, Rabbi Schweiger. Your comments on the podcast are always appreciated. Please send your email to podcasts@pardesusa.org. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you on the next episode of Pardes from Jerusalem.